The lantern over our front door was switched off. Rain slashed the sash windows. Water dripped along the red brick facade. The weather wasn't unusual for November in London. I stood in the dark, soaked, blown by the wind, while I searched my pockets and churned up the contents of my handbag with my frozen fingers. I couldn't find my house key, and I dared not ring the doorbell. Julia would blow my head off. Relief. It was stuck between the pages of Jay Lahiri's book I was reading on the tube.
"Late again!"
Julia screamed from the kitchen as I quietly closed the door against the damp chill. Although I wasn't the most punctual of creatures, this time the London Underground was at fault. I wanted to repeat the all-too-familiar announcement, "Due to a signal failure!" But if I spoke, I'd be fried. The warmth of our entrance hall, the dimmed lights, the smell of baked pumpkin, and the notes of Verdi opera. This was my home. My heart skipped a beat. Wearing an apron over elegant cashmere, Julia glared at me from the kitchen archway. She brandished a wooden spoon.
"Always the same story. I'm the only one who makes an effort, and all you have to do is to be on time, and you can't be bothered. Honestly, Amy, I wonder why I cook."
When Julia was angry, which was most of the time these days, her voice had a high pitch that drilled my eardrums. I pressed my index fingers on my ears to block the impact of her words and made a quick exit into the lounge. How many times had I heard this litany? "Take a deep breath in. Breathe out," I told myself. I plunged into our drinks cabinet and grabbed the single malt Dalwhinnie whisky. My hand shook as I filled half a tumbler. I missed the glass, and an egg-sized puddle appeared on the shiny wooden floorboards. I wiped it away with my wet sock and swallowed the whiskey straight. Not on the rocks. Unlike our relationship.
"Amy, what the hell are you doing?"
Julia shouted in the distance.
"Set the table and pour the wine while I finish this soup."
"I'm getting the baccarat wine glasses," I answered, my voice unsteady. She made me feel like a tiny fish that had jumped out of an aquarium and landed on a table, then wriggled and gasped as it suffocated. I returned to the kitchen with the glasses and uncorked the wine. Red Saint-Emilion, 2005. A good year. "It's a shame the wine had no time to breathe," I ventured. A wave of heat mounted to my face. The whiskey was kicking in.
"Whose fault is that?" Julia snapped.
I filled our two wine glasses, drained mine within minutes, and refilled it. I shivered.
"I'll just get changed." "You better be quick."
Can you imagine how it feels, after 20 years, when whatever you say to your partner doesn't interest her? However hard you try to be pleasant, you irritate her, and you don't know why. Within minutes, I was back. Julia picked up the copper core pan with the steaming pumpkin soup. Nutmeg. An aphrodisiac. How long had it been since we'd last had sex? I couldn't recall. 2 years? 3? "Let's eat quickly and then relax." I tried to sound light-hearted. Julia was off work. Officially, she was editing a textbook on plastic surgery. However, the real reason was depression, for which she refused treatment. She claimed it was only work-related stress. I reckoned if her behaviour towards me lasted much longer, I was definitely at risk of becoming an alcoholic. She focused her frustration at me. I was her punchball, and I was becoming a nervous wreck. Alcohol kept me going. Julia, pan of soup in hand, stopped halfway between the stove and the table. Her eyes shot me like a double-barreled gun. I watched the pan's movements. For a split second, I imagined its whole contents being thrown in my face.
"Quickly? How dare you? It took me 3 hours to prepare this soup. It's a special recipe from Chef Maurice, plus 2 hours to get the fresh ingredients from the market in Covent Garden. I want to sit down, light candles, and have a proper meal."
It felt like I'd swallowed a golf ball, and it had stuck in my throat.